We're at probably one of the most rubbish workplaces in Canberra. Garth Lam is a business development manager. That's such a bad pun. Lish Fayer would do so much better. Where are we, Garth?
We're at the recycling facility. Very different to waste, in fact. So all this material, that's not waste you're looking at. That are valuable resources that we can put back into the productive economy. So this is the stuff that's come out of yellow bins from Canberra households and from the surrounding New South Wales. Very different to the stuff that goes into the garbage bin. This is the material that's that we're recovering and putting back into the productive economy.
Can you describe the site for us, for anyone who hasn't been here?
The site's, we're in a shed that's about 120 metres long and about 40 metres wide. This is in part of the recycling park, so there's a few other businesses in this area that are also focused on recovering materials from the waste stream and trying to find productive uses for them, something better than pushing them into a bigger hole in the ground. Just across the road from us, there is the big hole in the ground, which is our nemesis. That's where things go if they don't end up in the recycling stream. So it's always good to be able to look up there and think, well, that's our purpose for being. The reason that we're here is so that we're not burying these valuable resources into a big, ugly hole in the ground.
And this is really very new, isn't it?
It is. So this most of this facility has been installed over the last month or so. It's actually only last week that we've really started up the new facility. So the problem, of course, with having a recycling facility is that you can't turn off the bins. So we couldn't ask everyone to just stop putting out their recycling for a month while we pleasantly pulled out all the old equipment and put in the new ones. So every weekend for the last couple of months, on Friday night, the operations team finished processing the material. They go home and the install team have been coming in, they've been pulling out the equipment, putting in the new equipment and making sure that it's up and running again for the Monday. It's been a really ambitious project that's been through. We're about 95% complete now. There's a few more minor updates to do, but we've certainly done most of the upgrade.
But this is tremendous, and it almost looks like something you'd find at a theme park. There are ramps that go up and ramps that go down, and it's all very huge. When did you turn it on?
It only turned on last Monday, the official new plant. So that was a major step, was putting some of this, the middle part of the plant. You can attack the front end of it over the weekend and the back end of it over the weekend, but to get into the middle and to do some of this really complicated work was a very busy week.
Yeah. Did you have like a plant turning on party or anything like that?
I think we nervously pressed the on button, but we're certainly going to. We're about 95% complete, and we're certainly planning on having a grand launch when we've done everything. We'd really like the community to come and have a look. We have a lot of school groups come through here, and we do a lot of education with school groups. But you know, we don't often get their mums and dads to come along. But you know, we would really love it if. You know, this is where everyone's material. If you live in Canberra, this is where your recycling comes. And, you know, we think it's a facility that everyone in Canberra should be proud of. And, you know, we'd like everyone to understand where their material goes and what we're doing with it.
And if people are listening to you thinking, wow, this guy sounds really passionate about recycling, you actually just admitted to me that you are a recycling nerd.
Absolutely. Yes, I've been working. Been talking rubbish and working in garbage for a very long time. It's a fantastic industry. Generally, people wheel out their bins and they don't really think about what happens next. Everything works so well that people forget how complicated everything behind the scenes is. Everyone notices, of course, if their bin isn't collected, but no one really knows what happens next. So behind the scenes, there's tens of thousands of people employed in the waste industry across Australia. It's a $14 billion per annum industry. It's a very big part of it, but it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, and a lot of people just don't think about how hard we work to pull those resources out and to put them back into the economy.
Well, Garth, talk to us about the process that happens once we've taken our bin out to the side of the road and hopefully made it in time for the garbage person to come and remove it for us. What happens then?
Your yellow bin comes in here. It obviously gets put into the truck with everyone else's yellow bins, comes in here and gets tipped onto the tipping floor, which is where we receive all the material. Now, obviously, all that material gets mixed up in the truck, which is why it's really important that every individual householder is being vigilant on making sure they've got the right material in the bin. Because one person in that whole street, if one person puts the wrong material in their bin, it can contaminate a whole load, a whole truckload. And, you know, in the worst case scenario, if that happens, we have to say, well, sorry, guys, we can't recycle that anymore. So it's the responsibility of every householder to make sure that the mix that's in that truck is recyclable materials that we can process here.
We'll go through what constitutes contamination very shortly so that everyone's quite clear on what can go into the yellow bin and what can't. But once it's into the garbage truck, what happens then?
So it gets driven to this facility. It gets tipped out onto the floor where we can see if there's any gross contamination in it, and then we try and pull that out before it goes into the facility. We've then got a loader that picks up the material. It's the sound you can hear in the background right now. So he's tipping that into a hopper, which it'll then go up a big conveyor belt. And the first thing that we do is that we have a couple of people who are standing there as it comes through the conveyor line to make sure that there's no gross contamination in there, nothing that's going to hurt the plant or hurt the quality of the product. So things like rope and garden hoses, they're an absolute nightmare at a recycling facility. They get wrapped around the equipment. So they're some of the things that we're really trying to make sure we pull out before it goes into all the rest of the sophisticated equipment that's here.
What are some of those sophisticated pieces of equipment that you have?
So the first step in the process, after it's gone through that manual decontamination line, we go through a big trommel, which is a big round cylinder with different shaped holes in it, and that spins along. The idea of that is the mechanical process, you're separating things by shape and by size. So through that trommel, all your big flat pieces like cardboard and paper will go straight through the trommel and not fall out any of the holes, whereas through those holes all your container material will fall out. And the reason we use that trommel is so that we can separate them, because we then process those different materials in different ways.
And once it's been through the trommel, did you call it?
It's a trommel.
Once it's been through the trommel, what happens then?
So there's various different lines. We use something called a ballistic separator, which is where most of the paper line goes to. That material is basically shaking that material. And again, you're trying to separate things by size and shape so that effectively the paper goes up. What you're trying to do is shake it so that little pieces of broken glass are falling out and going through the holes, and any of those container materials are rolling back down and onto a different conveyor belt. So effectively we're trying to separate paper and cardboard, which is about half of what comes in to the average yellow bin, is paper and cardboard. That goes off in one direction, and then all your container materials go off in another direction, and that's the main big split at the front of the plant.
What happens to the broken glass? Is that recyclable?
Absolutely. One of the big changes that we've recently made at this facility is that glass is now being made into a product locally that we're going to be selling into the local market, which is a big change from previously, where you're trying to move that glass material back into Sydney to try and make it into new bottles. Australia-wide, glass recycling has been an issue. Basically, we import more glass bottles than we actually make locally. Therefore, and we're such good recyclers that we've got more recycled glass than we have demand for it here. So we can't put all of that back into new bottles. So we're developing other uses for it. At this facility, what we make is a really fine sand. The glass gets imploded, which is a very cool technology that effectively targets the glass so that the glass shatters into very small pieces, but it doesn't affect the labels and the other bits that are on there. And that means it's much easier for us to pull those labels off so that we don't have that contamination in the glass stream. What we end up with is a very pure, clean sand that can be used as a replacement for virgin sand. And obviously, when we can manufacture a sand from recycled materials, that's a lot more sustainable than digging up a riverbed or mining a beach to get the same material.
That is fantastic. And what do you anticipate that's going to be used for in the Canberra region?
Look, it can be used for basically anything that virgin sand is, and there's a heap of applications for it. One of the really good uses for it is in bitumen for roads. There's a proportion of sand traditionally used in bitumen. There's a lot of roads in the ACT, and we'd absolutely love to see a high proportion of that goes into roads so that people can be... The trucks that are coming into our recycling facility are driving on roads that are made from materials we've recovered rather than made from materials that are mined out of a hole in the ground.
You really are a recycling geek, aren't you?
I love it. I love it.
I'm with Garth Lamb, and we're at the recycling plant at Hume. This is where all of your rubbish from the yellow bin goes, and we're talking about what happens once you take it beyond the pavement. And we've just got up to the stage where you've used the trombler to remove the cardboard, the plastic, the little bits of broken glass. What happens after that?
So we've got quite a lot of technology in this plant, and particularly in the container line. There's an optical sorting approach that basically takes a high-resolution image of the containers as they come past it, and it identifies those containers and makes sure that they're ejected into the right bunker so that we're separating We're separating that down into six or seven different grades of plastic. Obviously, what we're doing at this facility is trying to separate that material and make it as pure as possible. So the more we can separate things and not have a mixed product and have all PET or all HDPE, the more valuable that is and the more places that we can use it.
What happens when you've got something like a milk bottle, for example, and you've got the plastic that's on the outside, but you've also got the plastic that's on the lid and on the ring around the milk bottle? What happens there?
Look, composite plastics are a real pain for recycling. Not so much at this facility, but eventually, if those plastics are different types, they have to be processed differently. They melt at different temperatures. When you're trying to melt them down into a different material, they have different properties. So you have to separate them eventually. Lids and such isn't such a problem, and usually by the time something gets to here, the lid's already popped off because it's been squashed in the back of a truck. We obviously prefer that people take their lids off in the first place so that we don't have so much of a problem with it. There are other products out there that have more of a composite, where you've got one type of material and the whole label is wrapped around and it's made of a different type of plastic. That makes life much more difficult, and certainly I'm aware that a lot of packaging designers are trying to address that issue by not having composite products. If you've got one material, it's really easy to recycle it. If you've got several, then you've got to take that extra step of separating them, which becomes much harder.
Okay, so we're up to separating all the different grades of plastic. What then? This is exciting, isn't it? Are you excited like I am?
It is. It's really exciting. It's into this facility, we take in about 200 tonnes per day, 200 and 250 tonnes. Depends what time of the year it is. Obviously, over summer, we have a lot more material coming in than during winter, which is a function of people drinking more. There's more in their recycling bins. So everything, every day is a little bit different. We get different volumes, but 200 tonnes is a lot of material. So that's coming in the front door, and the same 200 tonnes goes back out the back door. The difference is that it comes in the curbside trucks. When it goes out, it's in a baled, finished form, and it's going off to the user of that material. So we bale it up so that we get better transport efficiencies, and so there's much more trucks coming in than are going out, but the trucks going out are bigger.
Okay, so once you've actually got all of the different plastics and cardboards and whatever else into their unique groups, you bale it up and then it actually goes somewhere else?
So it depends on the material, but it goes to the end user. So for example, paper and cardboard goes to Visy at the Tumut mill. So Tumut's not too far away from Canberra. That's where they make new cardboard boxes, and it gets reinserted there. So instead of using a virgin material, they can use this recycled material, which improves the sustainability of their operations, and is obviously a big win for everyone. One of the big changes here is the glass recycling. So instead of driving glass a long way to a glass remanufacturing facility, being able to make that product locally, and we'll be able to sell that in the local market, that's a big change. Glass is about a third of the material that comes into this facility currently, although we expect that's possibly going to change over time with container deposit collection schemes coming in place.
Mm-hmm. And what happens then, you're talking about if you get a ton of rubbish in, you take a ton of rubbish out, but then there's probably the couple of kilos of contamination that you have to take out every day. So talk us through, what is contamination?
Looking here over the pile that we're standing in front of, one of the big problems that we have is people putting their recyclables in plastic bags. The issue for us is that, materials moving through this facility very quickly, we don't get to open those plastic bags. It could be a plastic bag full of dirty nappies, it could be a plastic bag full of aluminium cans. The issue is, if you've left it in a plastic bag, it's not going to get recycled, it's going to be rejected, it's going to be pulled off the stream. Plastic bags are one of the most common issues we have here. The other issues are things that are long and stringy, ropes and garden hoses. Again, those materials can't be recycled at a facility like this, and they're a real problem for the machinery.
With the things that you put into your recycling bin at home, like baked bean cans, for example, do you have to clean those out before you put them in there, or can you just chuck it in?
It certainly would prefer that people clean them out, absolutely. There are 20, 25, 30 people who are working here, and those people, actually have to see that can come past. None of us really want to be standing here smelling your leftover baked beans, so we'd certainly appreciate it if you could give things a rinse out. It certainly improves the quality of the materials that we can recover here.
As a certified recycling geek, are you across the recycling trends around the world?
Absolutely, there's a lot happening. Australia in particular is a really interesting place. There's a there's a lot of big picture changes happening here. We're a little bit behind some of our European cousins. In particular, one of the changes in Australia is around the energy from waste front. It's very common in Europe, very common throughout parts of Asia and the US, but it hasn't been used to date in Australia. That's probably one of the emerging frontiers in Australia, is some of those materials that we can't recover, we can't find markets for because they're too dirty, or they're mixed up in a way that we can't actually recycle them in a traditional sense. They still have a really valuable purpose in life. You know, these things have a high energy content. They're probably 85% of the value of coal in terms of their energy content. So we can use those as an alternative fuel source, and instead of burning coal, we can use that material as a more sustainable fuel source. So that's one of the emerging trends here. The other area, of course, is looking at what we can do with that red bin, or the household mixed waste. That's the big.
You say with disdain. I can see it on your face.
It is the enemy, but look, there's things you can do with that. There's facilities in Australia that can process that mixed waste stream and divert 70% of that away from landfill. There are materials in the waste stream that legitimately serve no higher purpose in the world than helping to fill up a hole in the ground. You know, there's some materials that, you know, asbestos is one that comes to mind. No one wants to do anything with asbestos other than bury it back in the ground and make sure that it's safe and that, you know, it's not going to cause any problems for anyone else. But there are very few materials that hold no higher purpose than filling up a hole in the ground. Pretty much everything in the waste stream can be recycled. There's things that you can do with it, and particularly if you look across that mix, if you're capturing all the organics that you can through a green bin or by taking yourself to the transfer station, if you're recycling well and you're not putting the wrong materials in the yellow bin, then if you're processing your red bin and you're pulling out those other bits of the recycling stream that you can, if you're pulling out the organics that you can from that stream, and then if you can make a fuel source from the rest of it, then, you know, really from a household waste stream, you know, diversion, you could have easily over 95% of your household waste stream not going into a landfill. So we might not ever get to 100%, but, you know, we can get a hell of a lot closer.
It's such a pleasure to speak to you. I can see that you really are so passionate. So we're lucky to have someone like you at the helm here in Canberra. Did they headhunt you, or did you grow up here? What's your story?
I'm a Braidwood boy originally, actually, so it is nice to get to process here. This Canberra facility also services a lot of the surrounding areas of New South Wales. So some of those councils that probably don't have enough material to warrant building their own recycling facility, but they can still have access to a best practice facility like this, which the Canberra government makes available. So it is fantastic to be in my own backyard. But there's not much headhunting needed when you've got the opportunity to spend time at a facility like this. You know, I would have come from wherever I was in the globe to do so. Yeah.